completely describe.
I'm here with Jason Allen, man, part of the Cousin Cephas improv project. When you hear the term the Chico vibe, what comes to mind, man?
Power, unity, all of it. I'm at a loss for words, and I'm an improv guy. That's how important it is.
What is it?
This is a recorder. This keeps you from... You know how you get that sound? You don't get that. You don't get any air hitting it.
I don't do that.
You don't do that. Bob doesn't do that.
Professional.
Mayor Bach. I'm here. See, you peak.
I didn't say it wouldn't peak, but it won't
pop. You peak,
pop.
Man. But I'm here with Bob Baxter, man, from the funk of it and many other things. Hey, Bob, man, when you hear the term the Chico vibe, what comes to mind, man?
Weed. Oh, no, but seriously, the Chico vibe, I think, is currently hot, but yet cool, fun, laid back, and chill.
Kind of funky.
And a little funky.
For the funk of it. Anthony, when you hear the term the Chico vibe, what comes to mind?
I think about dogs who don't know each other but are friendly. So the Chico vibe is like a lot of little puppies wagging their tails at each other. Like, you know, like kind of glad to be together and meaning no harm.
But not, doesn't that lead to butt sniffing?
Oh, absolutely.
Guillermo Mash here for the Chico Vibe. This Saturday, May 27th, Soca King and our friends Mojo Green will be tearing the roof off Lost on Main and Chico. Butt shaking grooves, sexy folks, tasty beverages, and good times. Doors at 9 p.m. Slap on those funky threads and spend this long weekend making yourself feel good. Speaking of feeling good, man, we're really fortunate. We got Sofa King. We got a few members of Sofa King on the line. So welcome to KZFR, Sofa King.
Hey, hi. This is Christina Comfort, lead singer.
My name is Albrook. I play bass.
Awesome.
And we're so excited to be playing this Saturday with Mojo Green at Lost on Main.
All right, man. What are you excited about? What's getting you jazzed? Being on stage with Mojo Green, just being on Lost on Main, what's up?
Well, we've done some Mojo Green in the past, and they just bring a really great energy. And that's one of the things that we always try to do. We try to match that. And so when we get to be with a band that has as much fun as we do, bringing all that energy, it's a great time. And so we're really looking forward to that. Listening to the music, playing the music, and watching the response of the people on the dance floor. And that's kind of why we do what we do.
Speaking of music, your music, I mean, how would our listeners find your catalog, man? Is there any way to find you guys online so we can hear more Sofa King?
We are. We're on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook, Sofa King Chico. If you Google it, it's usually the first thing that comes up in your search results. And we're also on Reverb Nation. We have a couple songs there that people can listen to. And so, you know, we're all over the net. We've got some videos up. You can check those out. And we'll be at the show handing out information about how you can get in touch with us for private events. And we do festivals through the summer. So we're readily accessible.
Yeah, any closing comments before you lead us into this song? I think you gave us like a band rehearsal song, and it's going to be overlaid on this track.
It's actually a bootleg track. We really like to put out just raw music there because a lot of our social justice music, that means it has a message. And it really has to be played in the moment and captured live. That's our forte, is doing live music. And so this particular song we wrote about just getting by in life and believing in yourself and making things work for you.
Awesome. I liked it so much. I used some of those beats on the community calendar. So if you listen to the community calendar starting tomorrow through Friday, you're going to hear Sofa King here on KZFR 90.1 FM. All right, signing out. Any last comments? Bass player, man, we heard much from you, man. What's up? Give us some closing comments, man.
Well, I feel fortunate to be a part of this band. I've been playing bass for a couple of decades and never really had an opportunity until I met with Sofa King, and it's right up my alley, and I'm happy I get to express myself truly, and not just with my bass playing, but with the messages we write in our songs, and it's been really a wonderful thing playing with this band for the last 2 years. So
a lot of opportunities arise on the sofas. That's what I'm saying. All right, Sofa King, it's a pleasure, man, having you on the radio, and I hope I can get by to that show. I'm not 100%, but hope everyone else is going to get out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
It's again, Sofa King with Mojo Green, Lost on Main, Chico, May 27th, doors at 9. Welcome to the KZFR, the Chico Vibe Show. And we are all about broadcasting the vibrancy and happenings within Chico, California, and the surrounds. Be the vibe by loving the vibe. All right, last week we had a arts-centric show, so to speak. This week it's news. I've got a lot of things we're covering here on the Chico Vibe. We have Eric Traverso from Showing Up for Racial Justice Buchanan, as well as the organization Justice for Desmond Phillips. And she shares some powerful and moving insights on David Phillips' press conference that happened at Bethel AME Chico on Monday, May 22nd. And our news feature is the community response to the Chico Police Advisory Board meeting earlier this week or last week, featuring Kathy Gurney from NAMI Butte County, Vince Haney with Love Chapman Town Community Coalition, and Giovanni Treseri. He's the board chair of the Chico Police Advisory Board. As always, it's coming up after this. We welcome Jason Cassidy, Arts Devo, at the Chico News and Review for a rundown on the arts scene. All right, man, as we usually do in this approximate 6:10 time frame for the Chico Vibe, it's my pleasure, man. We're going to get an arts lowdown from none other than Arts Devo from the Chico News and Review. Welcome to the studio, Jason Cassidy.
Thank you. Arts Devo is glad to be here.
What we got, man? What's going on?
Well, I mean, this goes along with the theme of sort of what you've been talking about for your first few episodes. I weighed in a little bit on the 1078 leaving their current location. There's 1078 is still around, and they're looking for a new location. But for now, after this weekend's, I think on the 27th, Saturday, is the last day of the Alma Mater Art Show. And then that's the last day of the 1078 on Broadway, or at least 820 Broadway.
So we still have a few days to get over there and see the art. That art exhibit's way cool.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's the pros at ceramics.
You know, I had Erin Wade on. I thought this was kind of a funny backstory. She explained how they had mugs on the wall. And I thought they were mugs, coffee mugs, ceramic coffee mugs, yeah. But they're literally mugs, as in faces.
People's
but it's a
mugs.
Beautiful mug. Somebody
that's so funny.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I go to a certain beer serving establishment there on that corner. It's like down the block from my house. But I was thinking about the impact of on that business and other businesses in the Junction. That's the building there. Of not having this resource there that's bringing, you know, on some nights hundreds of people down there wide range of Chico spectrums, from, you know, 20-something college kids to, you know, professionals who have money to spend on fancy beers and fancy pillows and haircuts and stuff. And I know, even though I, you know, have reason to go there without the 1078, I'll go down there a lot less, you know?
Yeah, me too. And it'll be kind of a little bit sad because one of the most common things I heard is, let's go get some tacos across the street.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know how many times I heard that.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, especially when I'd be playing in shows or being involved with things, that was dinner.
All right. Huge shout out 1078, man. We love you.
Yeah.
What else, man? What else we got there?
Along the radio theme, Mystic Roots, Chico born and bred band, they just put out a new album, and it is number one on the Billboard reggae charts right now, this week.
Whoa!
Just announced. It's number one. They're from Chico. They're in Chico.
Give me five, man. High five. They led our show. They were the first musical act heard on the Chico Vibe.
See?
Boom.
Right on. You're the bump.
We were the bump. That did it. That did it, Jason.
And they're playing a bunch this summer around, including next weekend. They're playing over, I'll look at the exact date here, over at the Tackle Box. They're playing on June 3rd.
CD release. Yeah, June 3rd. CD release.
So go and make them feel good for doing Chico proud.
And check out their official music video, which I'm certain helped.
Oh,
Ed Marie's music video, solid as a rock.
And it's all a bunch of local locales in it.
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
The Poorhouse, Blazin' J's, two places I noticed in there.
Yeah, that's a great update, man. Number one, Billboard reggae charts, man.
Isn't that crazy?
I got to get that around to the reggae folks here, man. Get some more airplay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's keep them
up there, man.
Keep them up there. And then Chico State this week, I just announced the community, Butte College, and Chico State every year do this Book in Common. It's more focused on the schools, but where they pick a book that will be the theme that they'll address throughout the year. And then the new one for 2017-2018 school year is A Deadly Wandering by Matt Richtel, or Richtel, however you say his name. He won a Pulitzer Prize for reporting in the New York Times on distracted driving. And this is a story about a Mormon kid who was texting and driving and accidentally killed two scientists on their way to work on the highway.
Wow.
And so he explores those themes about sort of this distracted time we live in. And I think it's appropriate.
I can't believe you're bringing that up in this context, because this is less than 12 hours old. I'm literally crossing Esplanade over on First, and the light is turning as it's going north. Sure. So I'm getting ready to roll out, and the guy's stopping. He's coming to a stop, and and I'm looking at him for 30 feet as he's coming to the stop. He's looking at I'm a bike in the crosswalk, and he comes to a complete stop. Never looks at the, and he's just texting on his phone. So it's crazy.
And it's interesting. It's, I mean, it's one of those things where we know how dangerous it is.
Yeah,
and yet we still do it. And I think that's the big question.
It is, Jason.
And the thing I talk about is something I blather on about every summer this time of year is I'm putting together my summer jam list. It's one of my favorite activities to do. It keeps me, you know, seeking out new music, number one, and it gives me a soundtrack for when I have folks over for barbecues or just hanging out on the patio at night. And so I'm encouraging people to send Arts Devo, jasonc@newsreview.com, their ideas for their summer jams. I'm picking right now a song that could never be played on KZFR because you'd have to edit it so heavily it would be indistinguishable, but it's called Love Drug by D'Antvoord, their South African band who has a new album coming out. It's the first song from it, and I love it.
All right, Jason Cassidy, it's always a pleasure, man.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, much love for Arts Devo and the entire arts community that graces this wonderful city called Chico, California. Next up, we have Erica Traverso, who's going to be giving us some powerful insights, like I mentioned at the top of the hour, and words around the press conference that was held at Bethel AME this past week regarding the tragic police shooting of Desmond Phillips here in Chico, California. All right, Guillermo Mesh for the Chico Vibe. We're going to be doing a follow-up here on the Chico Vibe from some reporting we did several weeks ago with David Waddell from Chico Soul on the Desmond Phillips shooting. But what we're going to be covering today is a press conference, and I'm looking at an ER headline title of Family of Desmond Phillips Renews Calls for Outside Probe and Criminal Justice. So in the studio with me at this moment doing a pre-record is Erica Traverso, and Erica Traverso is a member of the community, and she's going to introduce herself and kind of tell us who we're representing here today. Erica, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Bill. I am representing the Justice for Desmond and Phillips movement and the Phillips family. I'm also a member of Surge, which is Showing Up for Racial Justice, and we're working with the Phillips family to ensure that there is some justice done. And I have to say, I'm also a mother and a member of this community, and so this has been very personal for me.
It's been very personal for a lot of people around this whole shooting. So there's just a lot of pain and suffering in the community right now, and mm-hmm. I think we're just blessed to have folks like you that are willing to speak out about it. So why don't we just delve right in here? Once again, this is from the press conference that went off.
It was just on Monday, which is the 22nd.
What was your takeaways as well as these groups that you're representing, Erica?
I thought that overall we really got our message out. I thought David Phillips, Desmond's dad, did an amazing job. He did break down in the middle of the press conference because the pain is so real for him, and I thought that was just okay, and that he got his message across, and then we followed through by reading the rest of his statement, and then all of those groups supported us with their letters. So overall, I thought that it was a really a well-presented and important moment.
Was his attorney, anybody legal representation there, or was it just Dave Phillips pretty much leading the discussion?
No, there was no legal representation present at the press conference. He does have legal representation. John Burris, who's a civil rights lawyer from Oakland, pretty famous one, he is representing the Phillips family and David. And then David has two private lawyers, one in Sacramento and one in Chico, that he's working with also.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were some of the statements or some of the comments and commentary that your groups have generated around this issue that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think the main thing that we tried to do at the press conference is to keep this issue alive, and also, very importantly, to let David express his experience. David was a witness to the murder of his son. D.A. Ramsey and my Chief O'Brien were not present, and yet they have had the main dialogue or monologue regarding this incident. So it was important for David to get his experiences out there and let people know there are a lot of inconsistencies compared to what D.A. Ramsey has released in his findings. We also wanted people to know where we're going from here. We have a lot of actions planned, and we have a lot of goals to seek, including an independent investigation and, as you mentioned, charges being brought up against the officers involved, including Sergeant Lefkowitz, Genagman, and Fleer, because this was just an egregious shooting. It was just, there were so many mistakes made.
What mistakes do you see that was made that we might want to, listeners that aren't as familiar, what were some of them?
Well, I've just finished, as a matter of fact, reading D.A. Ramsey's report, and even within his report, the inconsistencies are pretty glaring. The first thing I would like to mention is that Genagman had only been on the force 15 months, and Fleer was a little bit more than that. I think it was just a little under or over 2 years, somewhere around there. So they had less than 5 years experience, and yet they were the two officers chosen to go in with weapons drawn into a very volatile crisis situation. Neither one had real mental health training, and that, I think, was a huge mistake to be made.
But maybe spend a little bit of time, you know, explaining how many people were there and what the mood of the room was and a little bit of the environment at the press conference.
The press conference, it was a small crowd, but it was a decent crowd. I'm not good at numbers, but I would guess 20, 25 people. The TV stations, local TV stations were there, Chico Sol, the ER and the News and Review. I think that the mood was pretty somber. We had a slideshow of Desmond. And we also had slides of the evidence that David Phillips was able to gather, the blood spatter and the bullet holes, both of which do contradict Ramsey's claim that Desmond was standing when he was shot. And that was pretty heavy stuff. And and David wanted also to show some contrast pictures because he had to bury his son. And that was something that he wanted to do, was show Desmond ready for burial. So it was pretty emotional.
Any other, you know, thoughts and comments that you have on your notes before we kind of wrap this up? Or,
well, I would like to discuss really quickly, if I could, some of the plans we have for Justice for Desmond and Phillips. We're doing a fundraising barbecue on June 4th at 20 Street Park. It starts at 5:30. It's a celebration of Desmond's life. It is not a political rally in any way. There's going to be food and music and raffles. And it's just a chance for the community to stand behind the Phillips family. If you are into political stuff, we're doing a march on the state capitol the next Friday, June 9th, from 3 to 5 p.m. in Sacramento. And this is to let the Attorney General see how many people in our community in the Sacramento area are behind Desmond Phillips' family.
Who are the groups working on that, do you know?
Black Lives Matter Sacramento has been a great help to us, yes. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we have a petition flying around the internet. You can find it at the Justice for Desmond Phillips Facebook page, and it is a petition to get the officers fired and brought up on charges. And so far we have close to 1,600 signatures on that, so we're doing that. We're also working on a recall petition for DA Ramsey. That's a more formal one, so it's going to take us a little bit longer.
Specific to that one, when you say we are working on a recall petition, who is we?
I'm Surge and Justice for Desmond Phillips.
Okay, thank you.
Those two groups.
Mm-hmm. How do we find these? Facebook?
So the Justice for Desmond Phillips Facebook page has all these events on it, and Surge Butte County also has a Facebook page that you can look at and see the events and anything else that might be coming up.
Yeah, I guess I would say, you know, folks listening, your voice does, everyone knows that voice matters, but it's heard a lot louder and a lot clearer than a lot of people might realize. You know, I think this issue, there's been a lot of love and care and community discussion around it, and I do think it's made an impact. I went to the police advisory board. It really seemed loud and clear. Yeah, they said, we're not going to talk about incidences, but they were pretty heavy and hard talking about how they're going to be training their police officers better. So anyway, in summary, you know, don't ever feel that you shouldn't speak up or that speaking up is not doing any good, because it does.
It really does. For me, this is my first big activist movement. I have always been an intellectual and an introvert, so this is pretty different for me and out of my comfort zone. But I have to say that I could not have felt more strongly about this. You know, this is something really important to my life and I think to our community here in Chico.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Erica Traverso. Any closing comments?
Okay, so on Sunday I got called in at the spur of the moment to do a blurb to promote the press conference that was on Monday at Action News. And at the very end of the interview, the reporter asked me, why are you involved in this? Why did you get involved? And my rote response is because I'm a mother and somebody's son got killed by the police. But as I was driving away, I thought to myself, why isn't everyone involved in this? This is something so important to our community. Why isn't everybody involved?
So what are some of the statistics, Erica? I know that you've got some statistics around how many people have been killed by police fire.
Right. In Butte County, in less than 4 years, there have been 8 fatal police shootings. So 8 people have been shot by Butte County law enforcement in less than 4 years, which is twice the state average. Also, 4 of those fatal shootings were mental health crisis calls, and all of the officers involved in those were cleared by D.A. Ramsey.
Chico Vibe is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. Ken believes in the importance of community radio and encourages other members of the medical community to join the KZFR underwriting family. That's Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. All right, next up is the news feature, the community response to the Chico Police Advisory Board meeting on mental health. First up is about a 7-minute presentation in its entirety that Chief Michael Bryan gave at the meeting, followed by Kathy Gurney from NAMI, Butte County. And NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness. And after Kathy is Vince Haney from Love Chapman Town. And we end the segment with the chairman of the board of the Police Advisory Committee here in Chico with Giovanni Treseri.
Thank you, Giovanni. Like he mentioned, you don't know me. I'm Michael Bryan. I'm your chief of police. And I first want to thank you for coming out tonight on your own time to talk about this very, very important issue. It's been an important issue for a long time. Sure, it's come to the forefront recently, but it's been an issue for a long, long time. And I think it's about time that we have a real, honest community conversation about this issue. And that's what we're hoping to start tonight. We're not going to solve all these issues tonight. That's not the design, obviously. But we've got to start somewhere, and I think it begins with a conversation. So I'm just going to give you an overview from my perspective as chief as to what's going on that we're dealing with, what we're dealing with, some of the numbers, the statistics that we have had the last 5 years, and some specific numbers recently. And then I really want to hear systemically about the system from our board member, Dorian Dutrell, who's our behavioral health director. But tonight, I really want to talk about what was going on or what has been going on in Chico generally, some things that have been being worked on in the past and being worked on in the future regarding this issue with your police department, behavioral health, and other law enforcement agencies, and then really get a system overview from Dorian. So these stats will show a May 1st, April 30th time frame back in 2012, 2013, all the way up to 2017. So you can see the calls for service, the top line mentally ill persons. You see how many people we have responded to under that criteria. 773 in 2012, 2013. 1,004 in 2016, 2017. The number that really causes me concern, and I think it will cause you concern as well, are the number of suicides. So in 2015, 2016, we had 9 suicides. For the same time period for this year, we had 18. Those numbers doubled. That's significant from my perspective. So again, these are looking at those numbers just more from a calendar standpoint, January to December 2016. And then looking at the bottom category, it's those mental health calls to service where there's some involvement of a weapon, whether that's a handgun, a long gun, a knife, something, some kind of weapon. We had a total of 71 of those calls to service. That does not count typically someone in a mental health situation and maybe carrying a knife in a pocket or something like that. This is something where someone is calling and telling us there was a knife, there was a gun, there was some kind of weapon involved. So if you remove the actual suicide, we had 66 of those types of calls. And that may not seem like a lot. To me, that is a lot. So let's talk about some of the mental health initiatives that have been done and are being worked on currently. So when I became chief in June of 2015, as I said, you know, this was not a new issue to me. It was not a new issue to our police department. We recognized the importance of it and the importance of training to our staff. So we brought in a very renowned doctor, Dr. Carol McKinley Alvarez, who's a doctor of psychology, and had her train about half of our police department at the end of 2015. We got about half of our police department trained in CIT type training in 2015. So the other thing that has happened, in partnership with Behavioral Health, they have provided a half-time employee to work with our target team. When we have encounters with mentally ill in the field, we have that behavioral health worker with our target team, embedded with that target team, having interactions with those mental illness in the field. I think that is hugely, hugely significant. And the other thing that did, it allowed us in behavioral health to start to develop a relationship and working together, which I think is extremely, extremely valuable. So in September and October of this year, we're bringing Dr. Alvarez back in partnership with Behavioral Health in September and October to provide crisis intervention training for our entire police department. We have 2 days both in September and October where Dr. Alvarez will be coming up and training our department in crisis intervention training. That training will be opened up to other agencies in B County as well. We have a venue that will support that, and we'll get that invitation to others in the community. We think that's significant as well. So we are in discussions also with Behavioral Health, B County Sheriff, the DA's office, and other B County law enforcement agencies on developing a cadre of CIT trainers to provide more consistent CIT training to our region. Right now we have very few CIT trained individuals in this county related to law enforcement. We need to increase that number, and we're looking at ways to develop a real cadre of instructors to allow us to provide more consistent CIT training. The last issue is discussions that we're having with Behavioral Health, and Dory may touch upon that during his presentation, but developing a pilot crisis response unit in Chico to see how that might work here. I think, and I think Dory would agree with me because he was part of the crisis response unit in his previous employment, we think that would be hugely, hugely impactful. I'll have Dory speak on that. But as you can see, we take this issue very seriously. It's not something that we have just done in the last few months. We really have recognized in this field of law enforcement that we've got to look at this comprehensively and find ways to mitigate these issues before they become crisis-level incidents. That's what we want to avoid.
All right. It's my pleasure for the May 26th The Chico Vibe to have Kathy Gurney on the phone, who is associated with NAMI here in Chico, California. Welcome to KZFR, Kathy Gurney, and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Kathy Gurney. I'm president of NAMI Butte County, and I have been the president for about 10 plus years. I am the daughter and sister and mother of individuals with mental illness. So I have quite a bit of lived experience with that. I teach quite a few classes for NAMI, and I think mostly I got involved with NAMI because of my son, Addison, who had some pretty serious mental health issues, and NAMI helped me get through all of that, and helping NAMI was my way of giving back.
Well, thank you so much for that, Kathy Gurney. So We're doing a segment here. One of our features is on the police advisory board from last week that was around mental health and the intersection of law enforcement. And, you know, I know you attended, and I just want to have your feelings on the police advisory board in general, kind of walking out the door, your initial thoughts on it.
I felt that they gave us at that meeting a lot of really good information that, you know, we didn't know. Even NAMI didn't know all of that information about Butte County. So I felt that was very helpful, and I felt it's important for the public to know that. I do feel that the representation on the board could be a little bit better, with community people that are working daily in the mental health field. I feel that NAMI should probably be represented on the board, if not with me, with, you know, maybe one of my other board members would be fine, but some representation, because NAMI is the largest grassroots organization that lobbies and works with individuals living with mental illness and their families, and we are one of the largest educators to those group of people on mental health issues. We definitely are here in Butte County.
Well, thank you for that rundown. And then you offer office space to Lisa Curia from Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage, which was featured in an ER article, a beautiful ER article on how important it is to have supportive services and housing for folks experiencing mental illness. So
I agree. And NAMI gets calls all the time, every day, people looking for housing and looking for places for their family members, because many times it's not possible for them to live at home. And that doesn't mean that, you know, the family is still not supportive of them, but we definitely need some places that these people can live, you know, in peace and in harmony and be able to get their lives going in a positive motion.
Maybe a couple other things that you thought was helpful from the meeting, Kathy Gurney.
Well, I felt that for the first time, I felt that the Chico Chief of Police, Captain O'Brien at Chief O'Brien, really understands the issues. I've never gotten that feeling before. As a matter of fact, I was able to get an appointment and meet with him, and I've never been able to get an appointment and meet with any of the other chief of police. They just weren't interested in NAMI or what we had to offer. But Chief O'Brien was very open to having help educating the public, because one of the things that I run into, especially lately, doing some programs in the high schools, I'm hearing from the kids that their parents are not open to talking about mental illness, which is not unusual, because we, you know, this generation is going to be the generation, I think, that really does stomp out the stigma of mental illness and opens up the world for communication about mental illness. It's not something that should be embarrassed about. And so I had a very positive feeling that he really wants to educate his community and his officers, and I haven't seen that before. I know in the past I've been in the emergency room with a patient and seen an officer who had been previously CIT trained, you know, and noticed they weren't wearing their PIN, and I asked one of the officers one day, where's your PIN? And he goes, well, it's not the best thing to wear in the department these days. Now, that was a couple years ago, but since Chief O'Brien has been there, I think there is a different attitude. There is a more positive attitude, and that we do have to work together, all of us, all the agencies, not just behavioral health and the police department, but all of the agencies that work with the mentally ill, because we all have our own expertise, and if we can put all of that together, hopefully we can help solve or at least ease the problems that we're seeing with mental illness in our community.
So I know you had touched upon, you know, more peer representation on the police advisory board. And for folks just joining, we are talking with Kathy Gurney from the NAMI group of Butte County. But maybe there's a few other things or some other things you'd like to add that you'd like to see action taken on, or things that we could do better, either the meeting itself or helping folks experiencing mental illness.
I think that the biggest thing that we can do in the community is have maybe some more open forums where the community can come and hear and learn more about mental illness and what they can do. Actually, CCAT and Nami Butte County on the 15th of June are having a program at 5:30 where Mike Summer, who is a certified Memphis Model CIT trainer, is coming to Chico to talk to the public and explain to them what the Memphis model of crisis intervention training is, what they should know as family members and friends of individuals living with mental illness, and what professionals should know. And we hope to get a really good group of people there so that they can better understand what crisis intervention training is. Because, you know, people know the name, they know CIT, and they know to ask for a CIT-trained officer, but I think it's important for them to really understand what crisis intervention training is. NAMI is the organization that started that Memphis model crisis intervention training, and I think it is the best model that we have and that we should be using it. And we do have that once a year at Butte College, but I think once a year, that 40-hour training is not enough. I think we need to find a way to do more trainings of not just law enforcement, but first responders. I think hospital emergency rooms should be asked to go through the training because they don't always know and understand what to do. A lot of times they look at these individuals as just drug addicts and just alcoholics, and they don't always see the deeper issues that are there, and I have firsthand experience with that, which is why I say that. I've been in those hospitals with people and hear them say, oh, he's just an alcoholic. No, he just used alcohol to try to kill himself because he's seriously mentally ill and he needs help. So, you know, we still in Butte County have a lot of education that needs to go out, and I think we have a lot of awesome resources and a lot of boots on the street, and I think we need to put all of those together to get the information and to help these people.
I think it's an amazing to hear that term, Memphis model. I first heard it yesterday from a beautiful interview with Bob Erlenbusch, executive director of the Sacramento Coalition and Regional Coalition and Homelessness, and he had some beautiful words around how that started and everything else, and that was the model of CIT training that Bob Erlenbusch was talking about so favorably, and he's been working in this, you know, the poverty space and folks experiencing, you know, mental illness and anguish for almost 40 years in L.A. and in Sacramento. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to share to our listeners. We need to get out there. What are the dates again, Kathy Gurney? When does this happen?
So the date for this program that Mike Summer is coming to Chico is June 15th, and it's going to be at 5:30 in the evening. And I, right offhand, do not know where it's being held. I think we're using a church. A church is letting us use their hall to hold it in, but I can get that information back to you. Lisa Currier from CCAT is working with NAMI, that our two nonprofits are working together to do this. And I think it would be awesome to have community members and professionals and law enforcement. You know, it is at 5:30, so people will be off of work. And, you know, we'll have refreshments and some snacks there. So if people come from work, you know, they don't have to sit there and starve. But Mike has some incredible information on this Memphis model. And I think that this is a good place for Butte County to start so that people can understand, too, when they're calling for CIT or CIT trained officer, that they understand what they're going to get, you know. They're not getting an officer that's going to come out and heal their individual, their relative, or their loved one. But I think it's important that they understand what to expect from a CIT trained person in the Memphis model.
All right, Kathy Gurney, thanks so much. I have Vince Haney here in the studio. Vince is going to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about Vince Haney.
Well, okay, Vince Haney, when you say Vince Haney, that means a lot. That could be Pastor Vince Haney, activist Vince Haney, social justice activist Vince Haney, and citizen Vince Haney, citizens of this great city of Chico. And thank you for welcoming me to your broadcast.
So let's jump into the interview, the Police Advisory Board interview. And you know, so Vince, you know, let's try to go back a week ago, a little over a week, and You know, what was your initial thoughts? What were you thinking walking out the door, man?
Well, first of all, I didn't realize that was going to be the scope of the meeting. I'm thinking just because I guess they have two different police advisory meetings. They have another one, they call it a safety meeting. So I'm believing, I went into it believing I was hit going into the safety, police advisory safety meeting. And I got a revelation that there's two. So for a degree, I was impressed. I was impressed with the crowd that was there. It had a packed house. And then when I found out the subject, I was a little more impressed because, you know, I understand the issue that we have in this city and this nation as it relates to mental illness. So it was good to know that I was in a meeting where that was being discussed. And but also, Mr. Dorian, obviously we were with him yesterday at another event. I liked his presentation. I think he gave a great presentation. But at the same time, what I saw not happening was not enough community involvement and grassroots. You know, I believe this. It takes a village. And when you think the government can solve all your problems, in this case it was county government and city of Chico, I think, you know, that's where we fall short. We need guys like you, Bill Mash, that's thinking out of the box, that's actually in the gutters, so to speak, you know, in the trenches, and communicate with these people, not because they're getting paid. We communicate with them just because we're humans, the human factor. So you know what? I didn't see that part coming from the entity.
Yeah,
what I mean, city and county. And again, I applaud their efforts, and we do need what they offer. But I believe there's best, and then there's better, and we can always enhance. We can be better at what we're doing.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some things that they could have improved on. You know, drill in a little bit more.
Well, I just noticed at the end when it was question and answer, that was really a short time, man. That lasted for about, 15 minutes?
Yeah, but 20 minutes.
Yeah, Mr. Like Dorian, though, but everybody else spoke at length. And just to say, hey, this is what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're doing this, we're doing this. But we had a community out there saying, hey, what about this? Let us suggest that. And that's what I, you know, didn't get is, to a degree, it was dog and pony. To a degree.
It was laid out that way. Yeah, really it was laid out to be dog and pony.
Yeah, look what we're doing. We are doing something to address this issue and blah, blah, blah. And again, we got to get real. You know, keep it real. Let's just actually, you know, invite other advocates in to those county meetings and the police advisory board. Have some real citizens there and some real advocates in on those meetings and help you plan strategically and let's mitigate the situation. Because I know it can be dealt with, but it's going to take input from everybody, not just that guy with that degree in psychology.
That's a really good segue to this. I'll kind of slip this in, but Kathy Gurney had in her interview that's going to air here either before or after you. But she talked about open community forums. I mean, what would you think about, you know, a community forum every month around these issues, and how would you see that laid out?
You know what? Again, we could have easily turned that advisory meeting into it. That can be a model, but let's have more community input instead of, you know, city and county input. Because, again, it was a lot of their input. Let's hear from all those concerned citizens who attended that. Let's hear their thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, people have experiences. There's a lot of people that was in that room that had family members and friends that suffer from mental illness. And they've had success in dealing with that and mitigating situations. Let's hear from them instead of, you know, just like you say, a psychologist with his perspective and some meds.
So any closing comments, something we might want to revisit or something?
No,
new?
I'm just going to say, you know what? We need to stay engaged with the elected officials, those who work for the city and county, and just, you know, keep them accountable. You know, again, some seem to forget they work for us.
Yeah.
So we have to remind them, hey, and we do have input. We're voters. We're residents of the city. Listen to us. You know, you guys don't have all the answers, and again, it does take a village.
It's my pleasure to have in the production studio Giovanni Treseri from the Police Advisory Board, And welcome to KZFR, Giovanni.
Thanks, Bill, for having me on. My name is Giovanni Treseri, as you said, and I do serve as the chair of the Police Community Advisory Board. I've been doing that for the last couple of years and have been on the board for a little bit longer than that. I serve as a private citizen on that. I don't represent any organization, per se. And what I do in the community is really civic engagement initiatives. So I work with citizen groups in various parts of the community to get things done.
Give us a little insight on how the Police Advisory Board works.
The Chico Police Advisory Board really is a board that was created several years ago, I believe under Chief Mike Maloney. And what it was really getting citizens engaged in the conversations with the police department on some of their practices, some of the issues that they're facing, and to get community input. So for several years that I have at least attended it as a citizen, and then now I've been participating as a board member and now the chair of the board, it really is an opportunity for the police department to share, hey, these are our practices, these are the things that we're dealing with, the issues that we're dealing with in the community, is share that information and to have an open forum where citizens could give some feedback on that. Before this year, we met every month. This year, and it was one of my recommendations, was to meet quarterly and to go a little bit deeper on some of these larger issues and to do that in coordination with Team Chico that is putting together monthly community safety meetings. So what that does is that gives the police department every month an opportunity to meet with citizens to get their feedback on what's happening in their neighborhoods, what are the concerns that they're seeing, and then with the advisory board, using some of our community leaders to dive deeper on some of these larger issues.
Oh, that really actually answered that the second question I have, the safety meetings versus the police advisory board. So in summary, you meet once a quarter for the PAB, be four times a year, but those other two monthly meetings, you're meeting with community members to get input in different areas of town, right?
Yeah,
you guys
so,
trying to travel around to different
right,
sites.
Right, and then that one is hosted by Team Chico, okay. And our board members are urged and encouraged to go to those to hear what's going on there. The community safety meetings happen in different neighborhoods, whether it be downtown or Nord Avenue or over by the plaza, the North Valley Plaza. You just scattered throughout the community to get community input. Then the PCAB meets at the old municipal building, and we talk about some of the larger issues that mm-hmm. the police forces.
But do you intend to front end those two safety meetings prior to the police advisory with dialogue around those specific issues like mental illness and intersection of law enforcement is how I'm phrasing.
Yeah, they're not as targeted.
Okay.
It really isn't. It isn't more okay. of an open forum on what are the issues that are really important to that. Now, okay. I know that a couple of your guests on this show have criticized a little bit of, okay, why is it going to quarterly? And we'll definitely assess that. That was a decision that mm-hmm. we made with the chief, partly because last year we had both the community safety meetings and the PCAB meetings. And the PCAB meetings were actually not well attended, and so we weren't getting the type of feedback. So we thought, well, what if we packed it in as far as spread it out a little bit more, put it quarterly, address these larger issues, and actually it has worked. We have had nice. The best yeah. attendance. In fact, this last meeting that we want to talk about today is with the mental health issue, is the number one issue that the police department identified as one of the issues that is most pressing in their department. This is one of the first issues that we started addressing in this format.
So then we had a lot of comments here, and I'm just talking to folks on the street that we haven't interviewed for radio, but there was a whole conversation around peer representation, specifically from Kathy Gurney at NAMI, you know, to have people that are, you know, physically experiencing these things that the police advisory board is looking at on a quarterly basis. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we have a very diverse advisory board, and we're trying to get a wide variety of people in different experiences, you know, a part of that board. So we have on the board Dorian Cottrell, who was sharing last week, who's part of the behavioral health there, and he's the director there. We want people who are decision makers in their funding pieces too.
Funding
to
pieces, okay. Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, he obviously has a $60 million plus budget to address mental health issues, and just like, how can we stretch that a little bit more? But understanding those issues was an important part of this last meeting. We have Laura Cuzzona from the Jesus Center. We have Dan Gonzalez, who is a citizen here in town, owns Fifth Sun, and is developing Marion Park. We have we have a council member that's represented on that. Andrew Coolidge is a representative from the council on that. I'm part of that. We have Drew Calandrella, who's the dean of students there at Chico State, has been part of that. This last week was his last time because he's retiring, so we'll have somebody from Chico State. We have the AS president from Chico State represented there, representing the students. I know I'm missing a few others. I don't have the list right in front of me, but those are the type of people that are really on the front lines of a lot of these issues. But really, it's not about the board. They don't have a stronger voice with the mm-hmm. chief in these meetings. In fact, most of the comments that we get at the meetings, at these PCAB meetings, are from the public. And so we have people who attend these meetings regularly and who have a voice in that. So if NAMI, for instance, would like to be there at every meeting, we would love for them to be there at every meeting, giving us their thoughts, their ideas, or any other organization or people who are interested in this. We want these meetings to be packed like they were last week.
So that transitions to another common thread was forums. And I think that really translates into, you know, having time to take public input.
These are those types of forums. As I'm speaking here, I cannot speak for the police department officially, right? I'm not part of the police department. I'm a citizen who serves as a community advisor in many ways. But the police department, particularly with this administration, with Chief O'Brien at the helm, has been really responsive to the community. There have been multiple forums, community forums, throughout the year. On these issues, I don't think that the police department needs to be the leader of the issues. For instance, on mental health.
Yeah, I agree.
They need to be fully engaged.
Stakeholder. Yeah.
They're a stakeholder. Big time. I mean, they need to be fully engaged in these conversations.
Yeah.
But the people who need to be holding these forums are doing it. This is just a slice of this conversation. But what NAMI is doing, what I see, the Jesus Center, the Torres Shelter, a lot of the folks over there who are really engaged in these issues. There are so many people that are in citizens who are engaged in the issues of mental health that the police department is trying as best it can, as I can see, to really be part of those conversations. But it needs to be led by the people who are hands on the street doing this work. And so I fully support it, and I can't speak officially for the chief of the police, but I know that he has been very engaged and is interested in engaging more in these types of conversations.
I do think part of it, especially now you kind of cemented it for me, I do think part of it, Giovanni, listening to Giovanni Cesari, the chair of the Police Advisory Board, I think a lot of it has to do with expectations. So people are so used to walking into like that police the old format and having it really be, give me your input. So I think there's a little bit of confusion around that. There's definitely confusion.
Vince
was confused, yeah.
Yeah, let me address that as well. We used to have an hour-long PCAB meeting, and we had a lot of input. In fact, most of that hour would be citizen input.
Yes.
This last meeting, our plan was to, as we were planning what this, it was to have 20 to 30 minutes of, sharing the information, and then an hour of community input, just the community conversation. Now, as I talk about that, an hour is not a lot of time even.
No,
but it didn't happen this last time. That was something that as the chair I own, we did not have enough conversation at that PCAB meeting for the public to get fully engaged. And I know at the end there were a lot of people who were frustrated that, is this it? Well, one, this isn't it. This isn't the end of the conversation. And this isn't the end of the police engagement in this conversation. Okay. For that meeting, it was. And it didn't go for me as I would have liked to have more community input in that. So what I will work on as the chair of the PCAB is to really create the spaces so the public could have more opportunities to engage in that conversation.
So we'll wrap this one up pretty quick because I really respect, and even when I, as we discussed before we turned the mics live, that I didn't want you to represent the police, neither did you. But I just wanted to land on the fact that CIT training, you know, Chief O'Brien had talked about bringing in someone in September, and you know, I'd kind of done some poking around, but the stated mandated law that kind of hits this year is actuated this year that, you know, all police need to have 8 hours of training by essentially by June 30th, depending on their date of hire. But you had made some very interesting comments around, you know, Chief O'Brien wanting to do the 40 hours, which I think is the biggest misconception. So maybe you could just give a little breath around, you know, what you understand Chief O'Brien's stance to be as far as what he would like for CIT training. And then I am going to invite Chief O'Brien in specifically on this issue.
Yeah, I can't speak for that officially, so I don't know. But in the conversations that I've been a part of, the police chief is wanting more. In fact, he is going way over and above what the state is mandating. And he realizes that this is such a huge issue that they want to have more engagement with behavioral health professionals to help in this area. And so CIT training is one of those pieces that he is increasing the hours beyond the 8 hours. And my understanding is that they're wanting to go towards that 40-hour training. What they're also wanting to do is to, and this is what they talked about at the last week's meeting, is that they are embedding behavioral health professionals into the police department so that they could respond effectively to these mental health issues and calls. And they want to embed CIT trainers into the CPD, into the police department. I think every police department needs to not just bring in a trainer, but they need to actually have one of their staff fully trained to be able to train their officers. Mm-hmm. So that requires a high-level commitment, lots of engagement, lots of resources to make sure that their police officers have the resources that they need every day as they respond to mental health calls.
Maybe a really short little wrap-up. Maybe we missed something or something you wanted to circle back on?
No, this issue is a tragic issue. Any way you look at this, there is we are in dire need of better engagement in dealing with mental illness. Talking at one, having the conversation about it. How do we have the conversation about it?
Yeah.
Taking away a lot of the stigmas about it. Addressing this as a health issue way before it gets to a public safety crisis. There are so many resources that are lacking and so many gaps. And we're trying the best we can. And what I'm seeing is a community that is actually fully engaged and responding to that. You have people on the ground like NAMI and these other organizations, the triage organization, and just groups of people who are engaging and trying to make a difference and an impact on this issue in this community. You have institutions that are doing that. You have the police department. You have the Department of Behavioral Health. You have so many areas and businesses and that are realizing and recognizing that this is a huge need and we need to do better.
The Chico Vibe is made possible by the generous contributions of our KZFR supporters and by Chico Theater Company, creating live theaters since 2003. Chico Theater Company presents Chicago June 9th through July 2nd. Performances are at 7:30 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and a Sunday matinee at 2. Tickets at Chico Tix, that's Chico, TIX.com, and at the box office, and by calling 894-3282. Share the magic of live theater at the Chico Theater Company. That's a wrap for the May 26th edition of the KZFR Chico Vibe Show. I want to thank all our listeners and all our guests. And for the Police Advisory Board, showing up for racial justice and justice for Desmond Phillips and all of the organizations associated with the folks that we heard here on the radio. Find the Chico Vibe. We're on Facebook. And I'm going to go out with a little bit of Mystic Roots. Have a safe, happy, Memorial Day weekend. All right, you are indeed listening to FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio, Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Rite of Passage.
On me, February breezes blow my worries to sea, and March brings memories, remembering pain. But April, sweet April.